Well, hello, patriots, freedom fighters throughout Saskatchewan, across the country, and around the world. Good to see you all. Share it out. Bust through the shadow banning. So, a couple of things we got to go through. First thing is, we've released the first episode of our project, the SDGs and what you need to know. It's on my Facebook. It's on Rumble at Acres of Truth. And on YouTube as well. Do me a favor, when you get some time, share that out as well. It's important that people understand what that agenda is and how it's going to affect them. And we go through each and every one of the 17 goals of sustainable development. You guys hear me all right? Everything's good? Hey, Marcella, good to see you. Survivalist Landsman, good to see you. How many of you guys are on Mark Friesen Facebook? Just say yes if you're on Mark Friesen or if you're on Canada First. Hello, Francesca. Oh, me and Shadow really have to work out some times that work better. We're always competing. He's in Winnipeg. He's on the same time as we are. So he always likes to start at 8 o'clock too. So it's unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. So a couple of things we have to talk about. The Declaration on North America is an interesting thing we got to talk about, and Agile Nations Charter. Both of these things in and of themselves are support mechanisms for the greater Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. The North American Declaration, I'm going to read it here in a minute. Essentially, that is putting forward essentially the EU, the European Union. It's bringing together three nation states under one umbrella, and we don't want that. We don't want governance, and this is all a move towards, you know, at the end of the day, global governance, right? So they start with this, with the EU, and then they get North America to come together and form a union, and sooner or later, all nation states will be dissolved. That's the ultimate goal of this whole agenda. At least one of them is the destruction of the nation state. Soon, in the relatively near future, they're going to be moving towards a UN Parliament. And we've talked about that in the past before, not so much lately, but But that's what this is moving all of us towards. It's, you know, drip by drip by drip, attacking the nation state, the idea of the nation state, where nation states negotiate on their own best interest or for their own best interest and their people's best interest. They would prefer to see a unipolar world with one global entity calling the shots for the planet. It's collectivism, it's communism. And they're using fascism to help them achieve it. That's what this is. And so when we see them through the Declaration of North America coming together and putting together this union of nation states in North America, it's all part of the same deal. So I'm going to read a little bit of this as per United States. Today, President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, President Joseph R. Biden, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met in New York, Mexico City for the 10th annual North American Leaders Summit. The leaders are determined to fortify our region's security, prosperity, sustainability, and inclusiveness through commitments across six pillars. and all of the, they're getting all of the woke talking points rammed into all of this too. Diversity, equity, inclusion, climate change and the environment, competitiveness, migration and development, health, and regional security. It's just, I mean, North America shares a unique history and culture that emphasizes innovation, equitable development, and mutually beneficial trade to create inclusive economic opportunities for the benefit of our people. We are not just neighbors and partners. Our people share bonds of family and friendship and value, above all else, freedom, justice, human rights, equality, and democracy. This is the North American DNA. And then, of course, we get into all of the woke stuff. Diversity, equity, inclusion is foundational to the strength, vibrancy, and resilience of our countries. Is that really what it is? Is that really what gives us our strength? Is that really what gives us our freedoms? Is diversity and equity and inclusion? We focus on providing marginalized communities opportunities for their full, equal, and meaningful participation in our democracies and economies. To advance these objectives, President Lopez Obrador, Biden, Trudeau reiterated their joint commitment to protect civil rights. Well, they did a fine job of protecting civil rights the last couple of 3 years. They've done a really bang-up job of trampling. Hang on a second. I'm going to tell my dog to shut up. Sorry. They've done such a bang-up job of protecting our rights and freedoms over the last 3 years. It's obvious that's what they would like to do, right? And it's just so laughable. All of this stuff is just such hogwash. You know they're lying when they write this stuff, right? When they try to make it sound as pretty and as nice as possible, you know it's a complete load of horseshit. To advance these objectives, President Biden, Lopez, Trudeau reiterated their joint commitment to protect civil rights, promote racial justice. What is racial justice, by the way? They keep talking about this. It seems to be getting worse, this racial divide. Everything they attempt to do, every time the government sticks their face in anything, they destroy it. The bigger the government, the bigger the bureaucracy, the worse they are at solving problems. Let the people solve the problems. In fact, most of this isn't a problem in everyone's day-to-day lives. All of this is used to manipulate the masses. That's all it is. Expand protections for LGBTQI plus individuals and deliver more equitable outcomes to all. Well, okay. So, you're either a man or a woman. You're either heterosexual or you're homosexual. We get that. We understand that. The rest of it is word salad. The rest of it is a stew where they just throw a bunch of things in there to confuse our children, to confuse kids, so kids will move away from traditional family and the nuclear family. That's what that's all about, this whole LGBTQ plus I plus whatever. It's all hogwash. It's all done to confuse kids through our education system. In partnership with the indigenous peoples. Oh, that's nice. They included the indigenous peoples, which is interesting because the UN won't even identify what indigenous is. When they created UNDRIP, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, they didn't even identify what it means to be indigenous, because all of this stuff is cookie cutter policy created by an unelected, unaccountable foreign entity meant to create civil unrest and division. That's what it's for. And that's what they're going to achieve with things like UNDRIP. It was actually the UN that first coined this phrase, indigenous. We have to stop referring to our First Nations or our Indians as indigenous. That was a word made up by the UN in the creation of UNDRIP. So we have to stop using that language. They use it because it's by design, right? We will promote, innovate sustainable solutions that honor traditional knowledge, foster indigenous-led growth, and drive job creation. Well, how are you going to do that when we know that they want to move people out of rural areas and into the cities? How are our First Nations going to live a traditional life when they're not even going to be allowed to live or trap or hunt or fish traditionally in a lot of these areas? All of this is, again, it's all complete hogwash. All of this is just, it's all word salad. It's all coming out of the UN. Solutions that honor traditional knowledge, foster indigenous-led growth, and drive job creation. No, it won't. It absolutely will not. They're actually destroying job creation by destroying our resources and our resource sectors and industries. They're fully going to destroy those. They're not going to create any more jobs. In fact, what they want is everybody sitting at home on some UBI, universal basic income. And if there's a universal basic income, you're basically destroying the labor market. There won't be any labor because enough of our kids are so addicted to video games and marijuana that they'll be more than happy to live on a couple thousand bucks a month, which is what it'll start at, but it's not where it'll end at. This whole idea ends in mass starvation and the destruction of the first world and the destruction of our way of life. And the money will run out and there won't be a universal basic income. there'll be nothing left of it. We'll continue our cooperation to build societies where Indigenous women and girls can live, learn, and lead without fear through the Trilateral Working Group on Violence Against Indigenous Women and Girls. What about men? We will continue our cooperation to build societies where Indigenous men, what about men and boys? What about those people? We're just going to ignore those people? We're just going to continue to hammer our boys and to suck the masculinity out of them and destroy manhood and what men are supposed to represent? That's what they want. Because if there isn't any men to fight this, it makes their job that much easier. All of this is by design. Through the Trilateral Working Group on Violence Against Indigenous Women and Girls, Indigenous women from all three countries will convene in the coming weeks to facilitate discussions about priorities and best practices, including in areas of political, economic, and social development. This is all UN talking points. All of this is UN talking points. The three countries also reaffirm our commitment to gender equality and empowerment of women and girls. What about boys? Don't boys need help? Don't boys need to be educated? Don't boys need to be taught how to work and how to fend for themselves and raise families? And none of that is part of this. In all their diversity, by aiming to improve financial and political support for women's and girls' rights. Well, you sure don't do that by avoiding boys and avoiding men. In fact, you're going to make it worse. And they know this. If men don't have hope, if men don't have prosperity, if men don't have opportunity, what do you think that leads to? They're completely ignoring men and boys in this equation. Hang on, I gotta tell my dog to shut up again. All right. It's really sick. It's really wrong. And this whole idea that, and I'm not saying that, you know, improving women's lives, and but you do that not by government intervention. You do that by creating an environment where there's opportunity, where there's hope for the future, where there's prosperity. That's how you do this. You don't do it by government overreach. You don't do it by bringing three countries together in this Declaration of North America, and then the bigger goal of one world government. That's not how you address issues on the ground in Saskatchewan or Alberta or Manitoba or BC or wherever. That's not how you do it. By hyper-centralizing everything, it's going to work in reverse. Everything they're talking about, the opposite is true. And, of course, then they get into climate change and environment. Mexico, the United States, and Canada recognize the critical nature of taking rapid and coordinated measures to tackle the climate crisis. Respond. Okay, so when these propagandists, when these political operatives, when these UN puppets talk like this, there is no climate crisis. We're talking about 0.5 of a degree, maybe 1 degree change by the year 2100. And somehow we can't, as humans, we are unable to adapt to that. We're apparently unable to innovate. We're apparently unable to solve problems anymore. Even though from the dawn of time, we have been able to adapt to what Mother Nature throws at us. We live in Canada, for God's sakes. The last 5 days in Saskatoon, it's been minus 35 at night with the wind chill. But guess what? We actually overcame that challenge through oil and gas. We're actually able to heat our houses and cook our food and stay warm and plug our vehicles in and be able to move around and fill our gas tanks. Through innovation, we solve these problems. There is no climate crisis. It's a hoax to suck as much money out of us as possible. They're using it as a funding mechanism to redistribute wealth and funnel it to the UN and have that then spread to the multinationals, the oligarchs, the monopolies, the elite. They're all recording record profits. But we are the ones who have to sacrifice. We're the ones that are having our first world destroyed. Our way of life completely destroyed and dismantled and dissolved into second and third world. That's what they want. That's what this is. Again, in order for them to achieve the goals of sustainable development, they need to destroy everything that we cherish, everything that we love. And respond to its consequences. This includes achieving our respective 2030 nationally determined contributions under the Paris Agreement and working together with other countries to keep 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature limit within reach. Because, you know, in their world, CO2 is the reason there's climate change. But just think about this for a second. If we woke up tomorrow and Mother Nature and planet Earth decided the climate's not going to change anymore, that's when you could light your hair on fire. Because something then would be very wrong. The climate has always changed since the dawn of time. And since we came around, we've been able to adapt to those changes through innovation, through invention, through problem solving and building and creating. Because that's what humans do. Humans are really good that way. CO2 is not creating climate change. The climate's always changed. And we have to adapt. And we will. And we would if left to our own devices. But we're the enemy to these people. Humans are the carbon they want to reduce. That's a fact. A stated fact. To promote buy-in for ambitious cuts to emissions. Again. CO2 is a fundamental building block of all life on Earth. When we get to 150 parts per million, all life on Earth begins to die. That's a fact. There was a study, and I'll tell you this story again. There was a study, a bunch of scientists brought together, to find out why the Earth has been greening so much in the last couple of decades. They could have saved a pile of money. They could have given me a call. I would have told them. It's because there's more CO2 in the atmosphere. Plants love CO2. It's part of photosynthesis. It's part of what makes trees grow. And it's the trees that then use that CO2 and then expel oxygen so we can all breathe. It's this neat little symbiotic relationship Mother Nature's put together for us. We need more CO2. And as proven by this study, the scientists reported back and said, yes, in fact, it's more CO2 in the atmosphere that's creating more vegetation, more green, more trees, more plants, bigger leaves. And in that, more food for animals, more food for animals, more food for humans, for a growing population. See how all that works? We need more CO2 in the atmosphere, not less. But when you stack this up to their agenda, and one of the elements of their agenda is population reduction, you can see how this all aligns with that. Less CO2 in the atmosphere means less plants, less food, less animals, less humans. That's how it all works. The other byproduct to all of this, more CO2 in the atmosphere, more green, bigger trees, bigger plants, more vegetation, equals a cooler planet. When you mow everything down, put up a bunch of solar panels in a solar farm where you've eradicated all life underneath those solar panels, and then you put up these black panels that attract the sunlight, and it heats the surface of the earth, you're actually working against anything Mother Nature would want to see happen. You're actually heating the planet. And they're going to blame you. And then, of course, what do? They knock out the sun with geoengineering. They put in all of these chemicals into our atmosphere that then comes down onto our trees, makes our trees much more flammable, which is why there's more forest fires. It has nothing to do with a warming planet. It's everything. Everything is upside down, Diana. Everything. Everything is backwards. Everything they want to tell you, everything they try to tell you through propaganda is hogwash, is complete BS. To promote buy-in for ambitious cuts to emissions, we will come together to align approaches on estimating the social cost of greenhouse gas emissions. We will continue to implement and build on commitments from the 2021 North America Leaders Summit on Climate Mitigation, Adaptation, and Resilience, while renewing our focus on reducing methane emissions from all sources. Cow farts. With a new focus on waste methane. Cow farts. We will explore standards to develop hydrogen. So I just, on this methane little bit, through their water management schemes, it'll actually create more sloughs, more swamp, which creates more methane. They don't really want to do that. But it's part of their narrative. Again, it's cow farts. We will explore standards to develop hydrogen as a regional source of clean energy. We'll move swiftly to accelerate the energy transition by deploying clean energy solutions. Like what? Like wind farms? We know how much goes into wind farms. How much oil and gas is necessary for these wind turbines. Not to mention their inability to be recycled. They just stockpile them somewhere and all of their chemicals leak everywhere. It's insanity. Solar farms, it's another one. These solar farms are ridiculous. They actually go against what we need. We move swiftly to accelerate the energy transition by deploying clean energy solutions, increasing the production and adoption of zero emissions. Well, so Germany's done that, right? And we all know the trouble that Germany is in. People are literally cutting down forests so they have something to heat their houses with because they have no energy. They have no gas. There's not enough electricity to power everybody. So they go and they cut down the forest, the exact opposite of what needs to be done. We will move swiftly, blah, 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 just increasing the production and adoption of zero emission vehicles. Okay, well, that sounds great. Except what they don't tell you is how hard it is to get the cobalt and the lithium to mine for that, and how much slave labor is used. I thought they were going to help women and girls not have to be slaves and boys. I thought they were going to end this and give some equality to everybody. Unfortunately, all of these plans equal the opposite. Imagine if they paid people what they deserved who are mining this cobalt and lithium. Imagine if they're paying them what they actually deserve to be paid. Do you know how expensive, how much more expensive these EVs would be? And then all of the people who are corrupt and making money off their investments in EV vehicles will get richer. This is how it works, right? And so you'll see some people that are promoting electric vehicles because they're heavily invested in them. That's why they're promoting them. And then, not to mention, there isn't enough energy, there isn't enough electricity produced where everybody could drive an electric vehicle. It's just, it doesn't exist. Like, we're seeing brownouts and blackouts already. If everybody had an electric vehicle, yes, guy, they are destroying the earth. They're enormously inefficient. The cheapest energy we've ever had as a species is oil and gas. And they've managed, through propaganda, through the media, to demonize the cheapest resource out there. And they say they're going to help the impoverished. Well, how? How are you going to help the impoverished when the impoverished won't be able to afford to heat their homes? They're going to freeze to death. Or, conversely, in the second and third world, what are they going to do? It's all insane. It's all exact opposite to what we should be doing. Adoption of zero-emission vehicles in North America and transitioning to cleaner fuels. In partnership with indigenous peoples. Which indigenous peoples? Which ones? Which ones? Identify those indigenous peoples, please. We reiterate our pledge because I'm born here. I'm born in Canada. That makes me indigenous, just so you know. That's the definition of indigenous, born of the land. That's every one of us that's been born here. So, what's the distinction? What's so special about being indigenous? Nothing. They're using you, First Nations, Indians. They're using you. Your chiefs are bought off by these people to sell you down the river, as they've always done for 150 years. And you wonder why You still don't have fresh water on reserves. You still don't have proper electricity and heating on reserves. The same people that have screwed you over, the government, for 150 years are doing it to you again. And they're going to blame me. And they're going to blame you. Because you're white. And you're a settler. And you're a colonizer. That's the narrative, right? It's our fault. We're supposed to feel guilty. We're as a people, we're supposed to feel guilty because of our skin color, apparently. Because we came from Europe for a better life. Do you guys watch Yellowstone? Do you guys watch the trilogy, 1883, 1923, and then, of course, where we are today? I think it's a phenomenal show in how it shows how these people struggled and beat the elements, built things, created things through incredible sacrifice and hardship. And it shows that it's the people. The people need to take back control of all of this insanity, not the government. We have to stop these people in their tracks. More bureaucracy is worse for everybody. More control of the people. We've seen that. Authoritarian, totalitarian regimes throughout history. In the 20th century alone, they are responsible for the deaths of hundreds of millions of people by design, on purpose. When we relinquish our freedoms, our liberty, our sovereignty to governments, we all lose. That's what all this is. It's creating bigger government, more government, more bureaucracy. When communities raise money and give it to the poor in their communities, 100% of that money gets to the people that need it. When the government does it, 37% of that money gets to where it's supposed to. Because of waste, because of redundancy, because of bloating of government. When the people do it, 100% goes to the people that need it. When the government does it, 37% gets to where it's supposed to go. And these people want more. They want more control and the destruction of our way of life. In partnership with Indigenous peoples, we will reiterate our pledge to protect biodiversity. Yeah, we're right. To work towards ending deforestation and doing our part to conserve 30% of the world's land and waters by 2030. Again, government regulation is not the answer. The people are the answer. And we have to stop giving them this power. We seek to deepen our regional capacity to attract high-quality investment, spur innovation, and strengthen the resilience of our economies. The exact opposite is true. Recognizing the benefits brought by the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, to boost regional competitiveness, the three countries will seek to forge stronger regional supply chains, as well as promote targeted investment, key industries in the future, such as semiconductors and electric vehicle batteries, which will be critical to advance electric vehicle development infrastructure. Oh, God. We'll convene public-private dialogues and oh, public-private. There's that one. There's fascism. That's fascism, by the way. That's crony capitalism. That's where all of the multinationals get all of the sweetheart deals and make all of the record profits, while small business, mom and pop stores, and medium-sized business are cast aside. You're finished. You're done. You won't be able to compete. When they talk about competitiveness, it's exactly the opposite. It's this private public partnerships with the multinationals, the big box stores that all played along, as we saw through the pandemic. And the attack, who suffered the most? Who suffered the most? Small business suffered the most. Medium-sized business suffered through all of that. And while they recorded record profits through this pandemic, record profits, they're still recording record profits. Scott Moe runs around the province telling everyone how wonderful everything is. Really? I know a lot of people that are struggling just to pay the bills. I'm struggling to pay the bills because of inflation, because of mortgage rate hikes, because of inflation, because of the cost of living, food, fuel. Just trying to run a business, just trying to run my business. My business is dependent 100% on fuel, on diesel. My chipper runs on diesel. My truck runs on diesel. My chainsaws run on fuel. There isn't electric options. You can get an electric chainsaw, but it doesn't work half as good as a gas-powered saw. So efficiency goes in the toilet. And then you throw in 50-minute communities, 50-minute cities. Well, what's going to happen then? So does that mean all of these fines that people are going to get every time they leave their prison district, that they get a fine? Is that just going to be the cost of doing business? Is that going to be another dagger in the heart of small business? That we can't leave this 15-minute district or we're going to be fined? Is that what that means? Critical minerals are an essential component to accelerating North America's clean energy transition. Each country will review and map out existing and potential reserves of critical mineral resources in the region, while taking care of the environment, respecting local communities, and adhering to high ethical standards. Have you ever seen a cobalt mine? Have you ever seen a lithium mine? There are these enormous open pits. The amount of lithium and cobalt that's necessary to run a car is mind-boggling. It's unsustainable. 100% unsustainable. It doesn't work. It won't work. Because the cheapest fuel, the cheapest energy we have is oil and gas. Always has been, always will be. You won't be taking care of the environment. You won't be respecting local communities. And they won't be adhering to high ethical standards. It takes slavery to mine cobalt and lithium. Kids. Child labor. At slave rates. To mine it, to make it even remotely affordable. None of this works. High ethical standards, exactly. To support innovation, job creation, and workforce development, this is reskilling or upskilling or whatever they call it. Three governments commit to working with private sector, civil society, labor, and academia across North America to foster high-tech entrepreneurship, promote small high-tech entrepreneurship. All right, so robots. Robots to replace all you useless eaters. All you people that, you know, expect to be paid fair wage and be given a pension. We'll just replace you with robots because you're too inefficient. And we're going to eliminate you anyways by reducing the population from 7 billion to 1 billion. So, you know, we'll do it through a number of different ways. We'll do it through abortion. We'll do it through euthanasia. We'll do it through the trans movement. We'll do it through LGBTQ supremacy. We'll do it through the reduction of carbon, the reduction of food production. All of these ways. We'll do it through the manufacturing of viruses. We'll do it through the manufacturing of experiments that are killing people in by the droves. That's how we'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it through opioid crisis. We'll do it through suicide and MAID. Right? All of these ways. We have ways. Euthanasia, right? We have all these ways. Migration and development. Oh, today marks the 6-month anniversary of the Los Angeles Declaration on the Migration and Protection, a bold new framework for regional responsibility sharing that 21 leaders endorsed on the margins of the 9th Summit of the Americas. Well, how's that working out for Joe Biden and America with open borders on the south side? How's that working out? Lots of drugs coming through. China's pumping the fentanyl over into Mexico. And then you got the drug carriers, the mules, humping it across the border. You got huge gang numbers coming across the border. It's open. It's wide open. Just go ahead, come on in, and let's destroy America. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. But you see how they put the sheen on this, right? Three countries in North America each made ambitious commitments under the Los Angeles Declaration, including working together to advance labor mobility in North America, particularly regarding regular pathways, and have been delivering on these commitments. Since June, Mexico, the United States, and Canada have collectively welcomed record numbers of migrants and refugees from the Western Hemisphere under new and expanded labor and humanitarian programs. Oh, God. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for all that? We are. We are. Americans are paying for it. Because these people come as migrants and refugees, and they don't contribute. They're a drain on the system. By design. And you can't blame them. America puts up the flag and tells all these people in South America, yeah, the doors are open. Wide open. Come take advantage of us. And you wonder why America is in so much debt. And you wonder why Canada is in so much debt. And you wonder why inflation is so high. And cost of living is through the roof. Because all of this debt needs to be serviced. And it's all by design. It's meant to destroy everything we cherish. And this is just another way of doing that. This includes assisting host communities in promoting migrant and refugee integration, providing protection to refugee, asylum seekers, vulnerable migrants, strengthening asylum capacity in the region, expanding and promoting regular pathways for migration and protection. We can't afford it. There's already a housing crisis in this country. People can't afford it. They can't afford to live. And anybody who's working or has been working for the majority of their life is paying for it. We can't afford it. We can't afford all these people. We can't afford the poor from all around the world at $450,000 a year. We can't afford it. We just can't. Unless you're willing to have our way of life destroyed completely. And all of us being poor, desperate, second and third world. Because that's where we're headed. They want the destruction of the first world. So we're all equally poor, we're all equally desperate, and we're all equally dependent on global governance. Yeah, not to mention funding wars we don't have any business being part of, which is just another funding mechanism. It's just another way to launder tax money from Canada as we send billions to the Ukraine, and America sends billions to the Ukraine. It's money laundering. It's siphoning all that money. It doesn't get to the people. It doesn't get to the military. It gets siphoned off and redistributed to NGOs and multinationals. Zelensky just finished doing a video saying, everybody, come to Ukraine, invest in the Ukraine. So we can redistribute the money that all of these countries are giving us, and we'll give it to you. And yet, people are still running around with their Ukrainian flags. And I get it. You know, people have a heart. And all of this should have been avoided. There was no reason for this war. There was no reason for it. It was completely avoidable. And the people that are suffering the most are Ukrainians and Russians that used to live in Ukraine. And providing protection to refugees, asylum seekers, vulnerable migrants, strengthening asylum capacity in the region, expanding, promoting regular pathways for migration protection, addressing the root cause and impacts of irregular migration. The root cause and impacts of irregular migration. Well, stop creating wars. Stop funding wars. Ukraine was completely avoidable. So then I go to my doctor, my doctor's office, because my doctor's retired, so I need another doctor. I asked that doctor if I could have him as a doctor, and he said no, because they're only taking Ukrainians that are coming over, who have never paid into our system, who have never contributed to this healthcare system. But I have, through 30 years of paying taxes, so I can have health care, but I can't get a doctor because a doctor won't take me because he has to save room for all the Ukrainians that are coming over. Seriously? Yeah. Addressing the root cause of impacts of irregular migration and forced displacement. Yeah, forced displacement. It's all these wars they've created. They've created them. They orchestrated these wars so they could benefit. So the elites, the military-industrial complex, Lockheed Martin, they all get massive contracts, record profits on our backs, on the backs of Ukrainian people, through their corrupt government, the most corrupt government in Europe. Not enough people raise their head above the foxhole to actually have a look around to see what's happening. Nobody pays enough attention. They see this because it's portrayed by the media as such a wonderful thing. Look at this unity we have between Mexico, America, and Canada. They have no idea what the consequences to all of this are. Now more than ever, we need to identify and address the root causes of irregular migration and forced displacement. It's just, come on. Mexico and the United States and Canada commit to supporting countries across the Western Hemisphere to create the conditions to improve quality of life at our cost, at our destruction, right? So they're going to be able to say 20 years down the road, as we fall into second, third world status, that we're all equal now. Isn't this wonderful? We're all equal. We're all equally poor. We can't afford to feed our families. There's no prosperity, but we're all the same. Yay. Is that what you want? Is that what we want? I don't think so. I don't think it's what we want. Health. Oh, God. Health. Is there anybody in this chat? Is there anybody watching this chat that actually feels comfortable with our healthcare system at this point? Has any faith in our healthcare system whatsoever? I don't. I can't imagine coming down with something that I needed medical attention or I needed medical care. The last place I'd want to go was the hospital. The last time I did that, they just about killed me. On purpose. And so they want to create a bigger bureaucracy. A health dictatorship, health tyranny, to dictate to everybody how this is going to work. Trilateral Health Cooperation will focus on launching an updated North American plan for animal and pandemic influenza. Animal and pandemic influenza to improve prevention, preparedness, agility, and to provide rapid response to health emergencies in North America. North American Health Security Working Group will develop and launch a new revised NAPAPI as a flexible, scalable, and cross-sectional platform to strengthen regional prevention, preparedness, and response to a broader range of health security threats that include influenza and beyond. As we emerge from the acute phase of the COVID-19 pandemic, we also recognize that resilient health systems, including a strong health workforce, are the foundation upon... So what does that mean? That means all health workforce will be jabbed, are the foundation upon which effective pandemic preparedness and response will be built. We will continue efforts to build stronger and more resilient health systems that meet the broad range of health needs in our countries. Yeah. Digital ID, vaccine passports, you need to be jabbed to work. All of these things. That's what that all means. It's just more medical tyranny. And regional security. The commitments made during this summit are rooted in a shared vision for a more equitable, just, inclusive, resilient, secure, and prosperous North America. The exact opposite is true. And shared responsibility to achieve more equitable outcomes responsive to the needs and aspirations of our citizens. As we work to implement these commitments in the upcoming year, we seek to model a democratic and sustainable path based on trust to promote inclusive prosperity and security. So there's conditions on prosperity. You have to be inclusive in order to prosper. Mexico, the United States, and Canada look forward to building on this progress at the 11th NALS to be hosted by Canada. Yay! So, there you go. There's your Declaration of North America. All that means is less sovereignty for us. All that means is more globalism. That's all that means. All right. Next one. Yeah. What is this? Come on, get out of there. All right, so Agile Nations signed first agreement to unlock potential of. Hang on, let's change this up a little bit. Emerging tech. Canada, Denmark, Italy, Japan, Singapore, United Arab Emirates, the UK signed world's first Agile Nations agreement at a panel coordinated by the OECD and the World Economic Forum. COVID-19 pandemic has wrought economic and social disruption worldwide by design, right? By design. They wanted the consequences created by this pandemic. They manufactured the virus. They released it onto the world. They didn't shut down borders like we said we should do. And got a whole bunch of people sick. And then the answer, of course, was authoritarianism. Right? Shut it all down, lock everything down, destroy the economy. Destroy livelihoods, destroy families, destroy everything. All by design. And then bring in the experiment. Kill a bunch more people with it. But all of the byproducts that all of this created is precisely what they wanted. It's all by design. This has all been planned for decades. Decades. In fact, the Department of Defense in America, as has been revealed, was planning this over a decade in advance for the outcomes that they wanted. This is all orchestrated, all coordinated, which will power economic growth and solve the world's most pressing social and environmental challenges, is not held back by outdated regulations. So again, it's just, it's funneling governance. And what this is governance. It's control. It's global governance in all of these things, because the World Economic Forum, OECD, the UN, are the only ones that know how to solve all these problems and can bring everybody together, because we're all in this together. That's the worst plan ever. Let the free market figure all this out. Let people figure this out. Since the OECD's Global Conference on Governance Innovation in January 2020, Global Conference on Governance Innovation, and as part of the development of the OECD Principles on Effective and Innovation-Friendly Rulemaking in the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development and the World Economic Forum have been cooperating to look deeper into the interlinkages between regulation and emerging technologies. As a result, and in a world first, an agreement titled Agile Nations was paved to unlock the potential of emerging tech among countries. Well, what's that emerging tech, do you think? Is it digital currency? Is it robots? Is it transhumanism? Is it the introduction of nanoparticles into the human body? Is it AI? Is it connecting your brain to the Internet of Things? That's what it all is. It's the transhumanism. That's what they're talking about. Speaking at a panel organized by the World Economic Forum, the OECD, to endorse this agreement, ministers from Canada, Denmark, Italy, Japan, Singapore, United Arab Emirates, and United Kingdom announced their plan to lead the world in fostering responsible innovation and entrepreneurship. Oh, yeah, right. In addition, in support of this mission of Agile Nations. Representatives of Facebook also offered to launch a call for research. Oh, good. Facebook's involved. That'll make things so much better, I'm sure. Overseen by an independent steering committee of experts in the field of law, regulation, and entrepreneurship, into what approaches to rulemaking, regulatory sandboxes, policy prototyping, were the most effective for the fourth industrial revolution. As this initiative continues to develop, other businesses will be encouraged and invited to co-sponsor this initiative. I bet they are. And to venture their own ideas to support the work of Agile Nations. Yes, so it's more of this, you know, private-public partnership. Only this time it's to do with governance. That sounds like a lot of fun. More regulation, more bureaucracy. I can't wait to see an economic model with those pillars as its foundation. That sounds fantastic. Really does. In sum, the Agile Nations Charter sets out each country's commitment to creating a regulatory environment in which new ideas can thrive. Right. The agreement paves the way for these nations to cooperate in helping innovators navigate each country's rules, test new ideas with regulators, and scale them across 7 markets. Priority areas for cooperation include a green economy. Oh, good. Good. A green economy. That's fantastic because we need that. We need more of that probably. Mobility, data, financial, and professional services, and medical diagnosis and treatment. Oh, good. They're incorporating medical into this enormity. Let's see what this guy has to say.
The transition and new technology is absolutely key to solving the...
Yeah, so as I said, robots, transhumanism.
The challenges that we all face.
Widespread disruption from pandemic has made it even more pressing for countries to develop new engines of growth and business models, as well as pivot to greater digitalization.
Technology is continuously giving us new ways to live our lives, to interact with each other, to shape the world around us.
As a tech startup, we need governments to develop more flexible, interoperable regulatory frameworks so that we can introduce and scale up our ideas around the world.
How can we improve our governments and create a future government that is more innovative, more agile, more resilient?
The COVID-19 pandemic has stressed the need for innovative solutions to the benefit of our societies.
Good rulemaking can enable the businesses rapidly scale up, create good jobs, and allow emerging innovations to drive economic growth and also offer solutions.
We clearly have further to go to reform our rulemaking to make it easier for great ideas to enter our markets while mitigating the risks.
We need more flexibility in developing, applying, and enforcing regulations.
A fundamental rethinking.
You need more flexibility while we regulate the shit out of you. We need more flexibility so we can regulate the life out of you. We can destroy free market capitalism. We can destroy the first world.
Of rulemaking is needed to realize the benefits of innovation.
Rulemaking seems to be a common theme in these people. More rules, more regulation, more rulemaking.
Collaboration on flexible approaches to governing new emerging technologies is critical to help businesses bring responsible technology-enabled innovations to market and grow them globally.
Cross-border collaboration of regulators is the best way to avoid unnecessary divergence that could hamper innovation.
The time is ready to extend and apply the testing of agile regulation within the international cooperation among countries.
And it is through international regulatory cooperation that we're going to get the best to deliver for our economies and for our citizens. They have a right and we have an obligation to allow innovation to deliver for them.
今後このアジャイルネーションズの取り組みによって各国の経験が共有され さらなるイノベーションが促進されることを期待をしております。私からは以上です。
And I congratulate all of you governments for launching Agile Nations Initiative.
This is a truly important initiative for us to be able to deliver to citizens across the globe.
And we are pleased to be part of such a group of innovative thinkers and actors.
We hope that the work of this network will set the path for agility and create the building blocks of resilience in tackling any future challenges in this highly uncertain world.
Looks fun. Looks like a lot of fun. Treasury Board of Canada, Secretariat, Danish Business Authority, Minister of Technology, Innovation and Digitalization of Italy, the Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry of Japan, Singapore, Arab Emirates, Department of Business, Energy, Industrial Strategy, United Kingdom. Hereinafter, individually referred to as the participant, as collectively as the participants, have reached the following understanding. Participants have noted the following. Technological breakthroughs within and access and across the digital, biological, and physical spheres are heralding a fourth industrial revolution, powering a wave of innovation and entrepreneurship. Governed well, these innovations can help drive economic growth and address the world's most pressing social and environmental challenges. Regulators may struggle to keep pace with these innovations, especially where their effects lie partly outside their jurisdiction. A more agile approach to rulemaking is needed in order to unlock the potential of innovation. So, rulemaking and regulation does not foster innovation, does not foster invention or building or creating. It actually stifles it. So the more of it, the less successful we'll be. And this is just, again, it's just more globalism. It's more global governance. It's more nation states partnering with each other, developing governance, developing regulation, developing rulemaking. I don't know. I can't take much more of that. So we'll just call that the end. I'll put it in the chat if you guys want to go and have a look at it. Completely up to you. I don't know why it doesn't allow me to put it in the other chat rooms with Facebook that I'm connected to, but you can go to those ones and get it if you need to. So there's one more thing I wanted to talk about, and I saw this earlier today. To do with God. So they say they want to end poverty and end hunger. Check this video out.
Yeah, we're over our quota. It's regulated by the government and by the DFO. But the problem is... Hey guys, we're here at Hidden Bones Farm in Southern Ontario. We milk about 260 cows. Right now, during the winter months, you milk quite a bit more milk because the feed is very consistent. And if you do a good job, you will produce quite a bit of milk. So, but right now we're over our quota. It's regulated by the government and by the DFO, But the problem is what they don't understand. There's millions of people. Look at this milk running away. But it's the end of the month. So tomorrow, I dump 30,000 liters of milk. And it breaks my heart. I will show you. By the way, this here, Canadian milk, it's $7 a liter. When I go for my haircut, people say, wow, $7, Jerry, for a little bit of milk. I say, well, you have to go higher up, because we have no say anymore as a dairy farmer on our own farm, because they make us dump it. And no matter how we stand up, so this time I'm going public. I want the people to see the pain that us growers have. Of 365 days as a little boy, we grew up on a dairy farm, came from Europe. Work, work, work. And here we are. This is what's happening. Hey, guys. We're here at Gibbon Bowes Farm in Southern Ontario. We milk about 260 cows.
So there's your dairy cartels. They're over quota, right? So let's just waste all that milk. Let's just waste all that resource, food, that we could be feeding the homeless. We could be feeding, giving to hospitals. We could be whatever. But they don't do that because they're price regulators, right? And it's all to do with demand. And availability of their product. So if there's too much of it, demand goes down and the prices would have to go down. So instead of putting all of this, that's why there's quotas. That's why this whole quota system exists. We just waste 36,000 liters of milk. We just dump it. We just dump it. Right? Because they need to gouge everyday Canadians on the price that they're paying for the milk. And this is how these dairy cartels operate. And somehow we're supposed to support that socialism. It's insanity. It's pure insanity. 36,000 liters of milk going to waste. And so, if the UN Sustainable Development Agenda was truly about feeding the hungry, they would tackle issues like this. They would put together an agenda that stops waste, right? Like even grocery stores, right? I mean, how much food do they throw out all the time? And it can't be, you know, reused, or it can't be given to the poor. It just gets chucked out. It gets thrown out. 36,000 liters of milk. That's just one operator. Just imagine the rest of them. They're all doing it. They're all doing it. Because that's how the dairy cartels work. That's how socialism works. You establish the price. You gouge the customer. While everybody gets paid the same through these quota system. It's garbage. It's complete garbage. That has nothing to do with a free market system. Absolutely nothing. Now, some farmers argue that, well, if we didn't have that, then Americans would be selling their product up here. Well, no, they wouldn't. Because our health regulations when it comes to food are far too stringent for American producers of dairy products. So they wouldn't even be able to sell their product here. Because it doesn't meet our standards. So there's no risk. So let's end the dairy cartels. Let's end this whole practice. It's just complete insanity. So I just wanted to show you that video real quick. I'm hoping to have that particular farmer on my live stream here in the next little while. I'm trying to put it together. We'll see if we can. But it'd be nice to actually speak with him to get a little bit more perspective on it. Yeah, 100%, Hank. Absolutely. And that's the thing, is nobody, you know, in this agenda that claim they want to deal with hunger and poverty will tackle any of this, because it's all socialism, right? It's all price gouging. It's all so everybody's equal instead of a free market. And that's it'll just be more of this, more corruption, more of it. Yeah, that's what we're paying too, Mosh Pit. We're paying $6.99 for a 4-liter jug of milk, which, you know, I go through a lot of milk. I drink a lot of milk. I love my milk. But yeah, absolutely sheer cave to the dairy cartel. 100%. Oh, I just got a notification. We're having trouble streaming to Twitter. This may be an issue on Twitter's end. We'll try and let you know if it's resolved. Please check Periscope. No, it's not Periscope enough. Let's quickly have a look. Yeah, I'm still there on Twitter, so whatever. Hello, Twitter. Hello, DLive. Good to see you folks over there on DLive. I'll just stop in and say hello. Hello, DLive. Hello, TikTok. All right, so anyways, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. It's been long enough, hour and a half. But I thought it was important we talk about the North American Declaration and Agile Nations. It all leads to just more of the same. It all leads to more hyper-centralization and governance and loss of sovereignty for the nation states. That's what it means in a nutshell. So anyways, I thought it was important to talk about it. We'll see you guys possibly tomorrow night. We'll see how it goes. Definitely Friday night. Until then, that's a wrap. All right, folks. Remember, globalism bad, nationalism good. Republic nationalism, not national socialism. Anyway, good night. Take care. Love each and every one of you.